Lost's big secret? They were all Cylons. It's GRD Sweekly!
Yes, indeed. Welcome, boys and girls. And other people.
Yeah, you too.
Other persons. People? Okay.
Well, boys, girls.
Hermaphrodites.
I do not want to be exclusive. I've already been accused of being racist today. I don't want to leave anybody out.
Nobody.
When I offend them.
We're all inclusive.
So welcome. It is GRD Sweekly episode 83. This, Off an Island. That's what this one's called.
Let's do it. Off an Island.
This one's called Off an Island. And I tell you that because, well, yes, we are here today to say goodbye to our friend Lost. And oh God, how we're going to miss you.
But yes, we are. Because when we do the show, we used to do it on Tuesday nights.
Yeah. There's no
usually
there's no
we
show
go
tonight.
Home and we run home and I go watch the show.
There's no show tonight.
No show tonight.
But the people here celebrating the demise with you, of course, would be the Flintstress.
Well, I only made out with him because torturing him didn't work.
Well.
Ooh, wow.
Feel free to try that whenever you like.
Self-esteem. Answers to my questions.
Fantastic. Some of the answers can come to you from the Bruce.
I'm not so good around blood.
Well, that's okay.
That's okay. Don't have to be.
And, of course, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Everybody wants me to be a leader until I make a decision that they don't like.
Damn right they do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hi. So, welcome to it. Yes, the show, it's gone. It's over, and we'll be talking about it soon enough. But first, leaving out that, obviously, what have you been doing geekified this week?
Right, because, I mean, you know, the main show topic is obviously the geekiest thing of my geeky
week.
But there's been other things. Guess what I'm not going to forget this time?
What's that?
Doctor Who.
Oh, yay!
Yay!
Okay.
We're obviously ahead of the BBC America.
Of you puny Americans who watch it.
Spoiler alert, or I won't really do any spoilers, I don't think, but we are on the episode the Hungry Earth, and they're drilling down into the Earth. And so you see, you know, quite a bit of it in the previews for it, if you've seen the previews for it. And it's pretty interesting. It's the first of a multi-part, at least two-part episodes.
Okay.
So it'll be just kind of interesting to see how that one goes. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of...
spring a leak and part of Louisiana gets, you know, whatever the magic...
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe. But no. Yeah, there's the civilization and, you know, civil war and all kinds of other great stuff. But it'll be interesting to see where it goes. There's also kind of a lot of... I don't know, I'm hearing a lot of sort of backlash about the new Doctor. A lot of people who are talking in the interwebs aren't really a fan of the new Doctor or aren't liking the new direction that the show is going. And I'm having fun with it. I mean, it's just a fun show.
That's what Doctor Who is. You know, Doctor Who became a big, huge phenomenon again, thanks to most people joining up once we all told everyone how great it was with Christopher Eccleston, and then most people didn't hear about it until David Tennant came along, and a good chunk of geeks, let's be honest, didn't join in until the latter half of Tennant's first season or second season. Then you had Russell T. Davies doing these great big, huge, crazy-ass episodes, you know?
Right.
And this is not great so far. It's not great, but, you know, there is an overall lurking threat that we've talked about, but this is more the Doctor Who I'm used to. This is more the stuff I watched when I was a kid. This is dumb, fun Doctor Who stuff with some really creepy and crazy things happening here and again. And if I can go out on a limb that just might scare tons of people, I think Matt Smith's better than David Tennant.
I don't know that I would go that far.
I believe that's heresy. I have no idea, though.
that's fine. Well, you know, again, for me, I was a Tom Baker. Tom Baker's my doctor. Christopher Eccleston, I thought, did a fantastic job as the doctor.
Uh-huh.
Tennant was incredibly fun, but I'm really enjoying what Matt Smith is doing with this. I mean, he's taking it to a level that Tennant rarely got to, and he's only done just a few episodes. There's so much more behind Matt Smith's doctor than it seemed to be of Tennant's doctor. Had fun, but... so far, I'm enjoying Matt Smith a little more. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There was great stuff with Tennant. Don't get me wrong. Loved it. But
okay. If
you're a Doctor Who fan, you kind of have to like them all. You have to like all the Doctors.
That's true. Because it's all the Doctor.
There's even a couple things about Paul McGann I like. So go figure.
Wow.
Thank
no,
you.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Then we also watched Glee, which is, you know, one of our new favorite fun shows. And
it's not that new anymore.
No, it's not that new.
Nope.
It's newer than, you know, some of our other shows.
It's newer than Biscuits.
Exactly.
I don't know what that even means. I don't even know what that means.
Random. And this is kind of an interesting one. You know, Rachel sort of finds out who her mom is. You know, she's adopted. She's got two gay dads, and she finds out who her mom is.
Hermaphrodite, it's Cartman's mom or something?
No, no, no.
Like that?
It's the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's a quick spoiler if you didn't watch last week's Glee. No, it's the coach of the other Glee club, the big one that's won the Nationals like the past.
Vocal Adrenaline.
And how dumb are we?
She looks exactly like
and
her.
And it took this episode to figure it out. And oddly enough, fast forwarding through the commercials, coming back, you know, it went too far. So pause it real quick to go back. And you're like, oh, okay, well, he's going to get in a car with Rachel. It's weird to see Rachel driving. Back up, watch the scene. Oh, that's not Rachel. Oh my God, she's her mom. Look at her. She looks exactly like Rachel.
But I never considered it a big mystery. Like, it was never like one of those things, oh, I wonder who Rachel's mom is. Because you don't think that, like, she lived in the town, the same town that they lived in. I mean, it's just kind of weird. Plus, I don't really care about Rachel that much. I know she's, like, the main character, but Glee for me is all about the ancillary characters, all about the secondary characters. Other Asian guy. And Mercedes and Kirk are far more interesting than Rachel. And I know she's like the main character, but still, okay, whatever. She can have her little drama as long as we have, you know, everybody else going on along.
What would it help if you know that next week is pretty much a Quinn-centric episode?
Oh. Ooh,
look at there.
Yeah, we do need a good Quinn episode. But this is the second part of that that's coming up like tonight about Rachel resolving this issue with her mom. So we'll see.
Mommy.
And then we have the season finales of our Thursday night comedy shows. We watch The Office, Community, Parks and Recs. And
Can I just for a moment throw in and go, wow, how about that? NBC's got a quirky little documentary-style comedy that has a cute little romance between two lovable but, you know, sort of misfitted characters that's ruined by Rashida Jones in the third season. Go figure! Did not see that coming! God! Go figure! Oh, wow. I was just same guy, Greg Daniels, you know. Uh-huh. But, okay, so yeah. But wow, I wouldn't want to be... I would, like, really? You really have a thing for me interrupting people's relationships? Are you trying to say something about you and your wife? That's what I'd be asking if I was Rashida Jones.
That's funny. Well, Parks and Recs is funny, except that the kind of government is shut down right now, so it's a little bit depressing. Like, people might lose their jobs. Even though it's fun and it's quirky, it's also a little bit maybe too real.
Depressing,
in some aspects, it's just kind of like, oh.
And I remember her going, what do you mean the government? How can the government shut down? I'm like, you know, like it did in 95. Remember when the federal government shut down in 95? When we couldn't pass the budget?
Oh, yeah. I think I remember.
And I was stationed at the Pentagon, and it went to, essential personnel only. All civilians. Everybody was at home. There was nothing in this world weirder than seeing bright daylight sunshine outside and being inside the world's largest office building, and like literally tumbleweeds are going by. It was very weird.
That is weird.
But yeah, this stuff happens.
No, but I was like,
even the tumbleweed salesman was going out of business.
The cops and the jails and the courts. I mean, you know, I guess those would be considered essential personnel.
That's essential personnel.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not essential, then you shouldn't be there in the first place, right?
And there is the big thing, except for the fact that especially being a civilian, once you have a government gig, it's almost impossible to get rid of you.
Well, I have a government gig, sort of, so I mean, I kind of know.
There you go.
Yeah, it's very hard to get fired from being a teacher. My friend was totally freaking out.
Well, you want to find out?
No.
Do you want to try?
No, I'm not talking about, you know, like the really bad stuff. All you have to do is one really bad thing.
Okay, then you
Or you have to do lots and lots and lots and lots of little bad things. Mm-hmm. I actually played a little bit of hooky and snuck out early from work today. I totally cut class. It was awesome. But my friend that I made come with me was like, oh my God, we're going to get caught. I don't want to lose my job. I'm like, we're not going to lose our jobs because we left work 20 minutes early and we got all of our paperwork signed by the approved. Like, we did everything we were supposed to do. Okay, so we didn't really have an appointment except for pedicures. But I mean, still.
Are you good at, does anybody at your school listen to this show?
No.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't care.
You're going to find out real quick.
I mean, really, really. That's really not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not like we had students. This was our like planning period.
Okay, so you didn't have students.
I didn't leave students unattended so I could go get a pedicure. Come on.
Oh, I don't know.
Hell no. It's the best idea I ever heard.
Hey, huh? You seem kind of responsible. You're really 15. You should be in the 10th grade. Yeah. You watch the rest of the 8th graders. Sure.
Go for it.
No. But come on. I mean, it was a beautiful sunny like spring day outside. And
yeah,
you know,
I know. We left early. I was out in there. Yeah.
Left early. We also started watching The Big Bang Theory. We've watched a couple episodes. This is one of these shows that we've been really wanting to watch. And we've got a huge long list of things that we really, really want to watch. But we watched a couple episodes of The Big Bang Theory. And it was okay. I hate sitcoms with the laugh track.
Laugh track
sucks. Well,
so hopefully that's something that they end up phasing out or getting rid of or whatever, but it's just
they won't.
See, I don't know. I literally almost stopped watching the first episode because the laugh track was that bad.
Really?
The laugh track was that bad.
It's on things that aren't really jokes that are just sort of comments.
Yeah.
You know,
but they
jokes
don't know
are
what people are
going to
laugh
they
at.
No,
you know?
So they're just putting it on like every little comment that they make. There are some really truly funny movies.
Oh, there certainly
when
are.
When he thinks somebody has broken into their house and he comes out with a lightsaber.
That's
and
fantastic.
You know, just a couple like little. And I understand every single thing that they say, even when they get uber geeky speak.
Oh, yeah, we're geeks. But, you know, this is what we do.
But it's still overly caricatured in some ways. I don't know.
It is.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
And it would be, but that laugh track's killing me, man.
Is it? Yeah, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Really
we
is.
May not be able to stay with it, but we'll see.
I would be interested. Do the DVDs, and this is weird a comparison I'm going to make, but MASH released the DVDs where you had the option to turn off the laugh track.
Wow, did they now?
Yes, and I was just wondering, does this show have that ability? Because this is a much funnier and much smarter show without that damn laughter. Ha 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 ha!
Yeah, it's just really, really... It's distracting.
It is. It was very distracting the first episode. I got used to it in the second episode a little more, but wow, that first episode, I was like, wow, really? This is the sign of an unfunny show when they have to do this.
Yeah, the thing is, I've been watching so many sitcoms, I don't even notice the laugh track anymore.
See,
I really don't.
Well, most of the sitcoms I watch don't have laugh tracks. Because Community, there's no laugh track. Parks and Rec, there's
Office. It's not the typical sitcom, though. It's
true.
Not for the lives of the audience.
The typical sitcom, there's a reason the typical sitcom is dying, and one of them is, film it in front of a live audience. If they laugh, fine, but don't give me your canned laughter. Don't give me your pity laughs.
Right. So we'll have to see how that goes. We also hung out with Anna for a little bit over the weekend.
How's she doing?
Yeah, good. We played some Boom Blocks on the Nintendo Wii, and that was always fun. Everybody that comes over to our house, we always have so much fun. It's like little kids, when little kids go over to other little kids' house, they're like, what toys do you have?
Yeah, you're a play date.
What toys do you have? So we had a play date, except with wine. And we played...
Usually that's how play dates go. There is some wine involved. The adults are having the wine. The kids are just playing. It's like, all right, whatever.
Okay, but Anna had also brought this really cool like Czechoslovakian liquor that we finished up.
The empty bottle is behind you in the recycling.
Like Beckman-Schmarck.
Yeah,
it's
that,
too many
that weird
consonants.
Bottle.
Oh, okay,
and, you know,
I think I see it.
Lots of interesting stuff. And then we also played some Rock Band, and we played some Beatles Rock Band, and that was pretty fun.
Cool.
Yeah. And
you just stopped and looked at me, and I'm like,
I'm done. No, I'm not.
What am I supposed to get you?
I got a chance to play with Anna's new phone. She has the Droid Incredible.
Incredible. Yeah, you told me about that last week.
And it is quite incredible. It's really fast, and I've been doing some research, and that's, of course, the one that I want now.
Of course it is.
And it's backordered. So
to which I said,
not getting
shocker.
Incredible.
Yes, the one people want.
You mean
the
hot
everybody
new
wants.
Piece of technology
is completely backordered.
Sold? Wow. So did you go walk over and buy an iPad then?
So in other words, like the Cabbage Patch Kids of the iPhone, of the smartphones.
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers 2. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. I don't know. Now I'm like, what if this is fate's way of telling me I shouldn't get this phone? I don't know. I'm going to do some more research.
Well, if that's fate's way of telling you that, fate says you should never, ever, under any circumstances, get an iPhone then. Since you can't possibly have it, that's fate's way of telling you.
That's true. And when the iPhone first comes out for Verizon, if it ever does, it's going to be this mad, crazy rush, and they'll be backordered like mad.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
of course
it
will.
I mean, whatever. I don't know. Why
she
can't
had
I just
a really
have the cool new toy?
Cool application on her phone.
Uh-huh.
That was... the stars, the constellation, from where you were. No matter where you were, you would hold the phone up in that direction and it would show you the stars.
Where you're supposed to be. And
where they're supposed to
like
be
Google
from
Google night
that,
sky, right?
From that perspective. So if I held it like near about horizon, I saw it near about horizon, but straight up above me, I saw it. It was really cool.
That's really cool.
I want
the phone
apps.
Just for that. I thought that was awesome.
I want something that can do apps and that can get online quickly and that I can easily check my mail and do the Facebook and the Twitter and all of that. I just
need mine's
that.
Real, real easy to check Facebook and mail on. Incredibly easy. It doesn't take very much at all. In fact, it's literally one button for email
and
one button
for
Facebook.
I want apps and I want it to be really, really quick.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what your definition of really, really quick is, but mine pretty fast.
Okay.
All
right.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I got a dumb phone. I got no smartphone whatsoever.
There you go.
And finished listening to the first book of Seventh Son. So Seventh Son, book one, Descent. I finished listening to that, and that was really, really pretty good. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm hooked. All the cliffhangers all the time. I'm always like, oh, no, I have to go to work, because I usually listen to it on my way to work.
Yeah.
And I'm like already running late, and I'm sitting in the car, like in the parking lot, like trying to listen to the last couple of minutes of it.
First bell hasn't rung yet.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, not really.
Shoot.
Yeah, it has. Okay. I got to hurry up and get inside. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that, and I've downloaded the other two books, so I'll be listening to those at some point soon. And I've also almost finished the Morganville Vampire series by Rachel Caine, who we met at RavenCon.
Yeah.
And so I'm on the last book of that. This last one I'm not enjoying as much, but I think it's my own fault because I haven't been able to just sit and read it in a big long chunk. I've been reading like a little bit at a time because I'm trying to fit it in with the rest of my life.
You know, like most people have
like
to read books.
Like most people have to read books.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like I'm having a hard time keeping track of the story, and every time I go back to read it, I have to read several pages just to be like, oh yeah, that's what's going on. So I may just stop where I am and start from the beginning and just read it because I'm just having a hard time keeping up with the story reading it like this.
Well, when you have a free weekend and you know, Billy's out of town or whatever, just, you know, sit down, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out of town this weekend, but, you know.
But so
but
am
she's
I.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Well, you have something to do on the plane. The plane.
We're going to Baltimore.
Oh, that's right. Balticon. Why am I thinking Starfest?
I have
why
no
am I,
idea.
Why am I thinking Starfest?
I don't know.
But, you know. Well, taking a plane to Baltimore, that'd be like me taking a plane from, you know, down to Raleigh, North Carolina for Circuit City
that's
time.
That's so funny. They paid for it.
They
did. That's what they wanted you to do.
Stupid
people. Craziness. We also watched an episode of The Boondocks. You ever watched The Boondocks?
Boondocks
yeah,
is
I have.
Wonderful.
I, when it first came out, yes.
God,
I watched it.
So they have a new series, the new episode, of the new episodes, new season of The Boondocks is out now. And that's just brilliant. It's so anime style, but it's also hip hop. And it's just, it's really, really clever. They had this kickball tournament and it was just really the art, the way that it was all set up. It was really, really cool.
I know there have been some people that have had a problem with this from the transition from the comic to the animated show, but Aaron Magruder did this and I see what he did. Huey Freeman has basically been made a samurai and it works so well. If you look at the concept of him having honor and dignity and the rest of the world, God, I love that show.
Yeah, it's completely different from the comic strips, but
basic concept,
yeah, same characters, animation, but
still. But you're not going to see the big kung fu battle in the comic strip.
No, you're not.
Right. It just wouldn't work that way.
And they don't get to do the wonderful things like the fall of Thugnificent in the comics either.
True.
In the comic. Wow.
Thugnificent. Wow. And now he drives a UPS truck.
You did that robot thing with your voice. Yeah. That's what's cool. It's okay. Yo, you did it on all your tracks?
All your checks. That was a pretty good Riley impersonation, I have to say.
I'm working on it.
And then last thing on my list, Matt Lauer can suck it. And we watched Land of the Lost, finally.
Yeah.
And it is not a funny movie, but there are a lot of funny parts.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Going back, you remember when Bob Hope or some celebrity used to have a special on TV?
Yeah.
And they, you know, and all of your guest stars, and they would like parody some movie going on, and they would be doing funny things based on that movie.
Yes.
But it wasn't a parody of that movie.
Yes.
That's what Land of the Lost is. It's a bunch of people doing funny little sketch things in the Land of the Lost, but it's not a comedy of Land of the Lost. Because my biggest problem, we did not get enough of the Land of the Lost in the Land of the Lost movie. There's tons of things there, tons of references, plot points brought specifically straight from the show. Hell, Leonard Nimoy's in it for one line. He's the voice.
Like three lines, but yeah.
Fine. He's the voice of a slee stack for three lines, and it's awesome. They covered quite a bit of the stuff, but if you weren't, like, you know, 6 years old in 1975 or whatever the hell it was,
you didn't get it.
I don't think you got some of the stuff that was in there. Because, and the sleestacks,
there was no real background. There was no real motivation for what was going on.
The big problem here is that Will Ferrell, not that Will Ferrell's in the movie, that Will Ferrell's character is studying events and places like the Land of the Lost. He already knows that something like this could possibly exist. He's already theorized it.
Yeah.
And so he's not really all that surprised when they land in the Land of the Lost.
You know, it's not that big a deal. They all pretty much take it in stride quite well. And you know what? For it being cleaned up and pretty as much as people like, oh, look, they prettied up the sleestacks, because in the preview they did look not quite as menacing. But then they smile. And the thing they've done to the sleestacks' mouths in this will give you the same night terrors you had as a child when you saw the sleestacks and those big soulless dead eyes. I had fun with it because I enjoyed Land of the Lost, and we would not have our favorite show ever, Lost, you know, if it wasn't for that show, because they ripped off so many things from it. They really, really did. But it's not a Land of the Lost movie. It's a Will Ferrell movie set in Land of the Lost.
And right, Danny McBride was pretty funny, though.
Danny McBride, consistently
funny.
He's
pretty funny in everything you do. You know, he just has that same kind of deadpan delivery, and he's just really a riot. So I'd pretty much watch anything that he's in.
I think I gave it, six?
Six and a half. Okay. It wasn't a total waste of time, but I don't really feel like I'll ever need to see it again.
I do think your enjoyment of it's going to depend on whether or not you liked the show. And if you did like the show, it's a mixed blessing, because there's stuff you'll really, really like, and then you'll be like, oh, but come on! You know, kind of.
Okay. It would be a rent, not buy, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, right. Even though I'm sure I probably forgot some things, I will end my geeky week.
Okay. I finished Murder at the Don Hill.
Nice.
It's a great mystery novel.
It is.
There's a lot of mythos involved, a lot of fantasy, but the heart of the story, it's a mystery
story. It's a whodunit.
It is really a mystery story with a couple of good twists in there. I mean, one you see coming, one you don't, but it's a good...
Would have got away with it, too. It wasn't...
Yeah, there's no Scooby-Doo moments. Oh, thank God there's no Scooby-Doo moments.
It was definitely there to figure out, I think, you know. I didn't get it right away, but it was definitely there.
You kind of caught something, but at the same time, he did. It's like, oh, okay, I got it.
One of those where, if, you know, when I read the book version of it, I feel like there'll be clues. I'll see clues everywhere I look.
Well, the thing is, you go back through it twice, you always find
the
clues.
So when you see the mystery the second time, you can figure it out.
Yeah, go figure. Well, you always see the clues that were there.
Well, not always, though. Every now and then, you know, there's some not very well done mysteries where, like, it's like impossible to figure it out. Like, they throw a character in right at the end.
Yeah, of course.
Or, you know, there's just...
This isn't Agatha Christie. This is P.G. Holyfield.
I'm just saying. I thought it was very, very well done, too.
If you like fantasy stories and murder mysteries, definitely go out and buy or take a listen to Murder at Avedon Hill.
Listen to it.
Let's see. A lot of TV shows have been ending recently. You talked about a few of them. One I was actually very, very pleased with is the end of Chuck.
Okay.
2-hour season finale. It was a really good, it had a nice story to it, which is something you don't really see from Chuck. Chuck is very much, all right, you go in, it's going to be fun TV. This actually had a really good story to it with a good twist to it. I actually enjoy this. Probably one of my favorite episodes of Chuck I have seen in a long time.
Wow. Okay.
I like the direction it's going to go in next season as well.
Okay.
Okay, so it's if you haven't seen it, it's he's not going to have the same boss anymore. Let's put it that way. The V finale, however, did not like.
Really?
Yes. I was surprised. I didn't like it as much as I did. There were one or two characters that had major changes of heart.
Uh-huh.
The one visitor that's already on the planet has been there. He's been part of the resistance.
Slight spoiler.
Trust me, I'm going to spoil it for you. I don't care.
Marcus?
Something like that.
The African American.
Yeah. The one.
Morris Chestnut, right?
Yeah. His
I remember his name.
I know. I can't remember his name.
Basically, the character does almost a 180.
His wife is Val.
Yeah. Who dies?
I don't know.
Or is killed.
Okay. All right. Well, see, I don't know that he necessarily did a 180.
I think he did, because all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't hate the visit. Well, I hate the visitor. I hate the visitors. I don't want them. I want them off the planet. You know, I love my baby. All of a sudden it's like, oh, my wife died. Oh, where's the kid? Over there somewhere? Oh, I'm back in the fold.
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah. I think he's being emotionally manipulated, and
because coming in with the bliss, I think he, I think she sort of forced herself on him.
She blissed him without consent.
Yeah, but he was standing there waiting for it to happen. I mean, seriously.
You just remember this the next time that your wife dies and you weren't there and you missed the birth of your kid, that maybe it's going to throw you for a little bit of a loop. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the first is, if my wife dies and that had happened, Anna's involved, I'm pretty much going to ensure that she killed her somehow.
I thought this gave me great hope that they're not going to try to stretch out this plot line.
I hope so, too.
We're a secret cell just by ourselves trying to stop him. I think we're going to move closer and closer. I think each season this thing is going to sort of reinvent itself.
Yeah, I hope so.
The fifth column is going to get bigger and bigger.
It's going to have to.
But is the other one whose name I can't remember with the facial hair who is double crossing with the V's? He's getting paid. The mercenary
maybe he's
guy.
The mercenary.
Who the hell's Marcus?
I don't know. Somebody's Marcus.
Marcus okay. Brody. No, wait. That's a different genre. That's Jaws. That's weird.
I think Marcus is the V guy who is dealing with. I don't even know.
Who cares? Don't worry about it. But I was not pleased
Juliet?
With this at all. Juliet's the blonde that's the FBI agent. Can you get that one?
Erica.
She's Erica.
Yes.
Okay.
And really, you know, Erica and Anna, what else do you need to know? Except, you know.
The rest of the cast?
When they're going to pillow fight.
Oh, I don't think it's going to happen.
Season two.
You can always help.
Season finale.
Interesting, though, to see Anna have, you know, an emotional reaction.
Yes, she
did. Miranda Baccara can really open her mouth really wide.
Was that her, or was that some CGI?
That had to be, I think they CGI'd her a little bit, because that looked like humanly impossible.
That looked painful. It looked really painful, and I was very pleasantly surprised to
look
see.
Look at it again. Whoa.
You know, I didn't know they would do that this soon to introduce the concept of her having some form of emotions, but that can only lead to her being even worse than she is now.
Yeah, that's not going to be a good thing, because the emotions she's experiencing are anger, hatred,
let's
pain,
blow up the
not
planet
love.
Now, you know?
And congratulations to Laura Vandervoort, or however the hell you say her name, for finally getting her own little I'm going to smirk when no one's looking moment.
Right, we definitely were like, ha, 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 so she got to do it. Wow.
It's so nice to see the kids grow up like that. It's she does what Bobby does. That's cool.
Let's see, end of season for Castle.
Yes,
did you see it?
I did.
Actually, this was really good.
It was a really good episode.
I really did like this
episode. You know, they've taken this dumb little moonlighting ripoff, and they've really done a lot with it.
They really have. It's a really good show. It's really well written. I'm enjoying the fun with it.
And fantastic of them to have Skinner. No, not Seymour Skinner, but assistant DA, not assistant DA, assistant director Skinner, ADA Skinner.
Yes.
As the guy in the flip, because you don't see that coming.
No,
it's Skinner, so you don't see
You see
that
him being
twist.
A badass.
Yes.
He's like, I'm fired
I was
my
in Afghanistan,
crush.
And you think you're subtle but polite is going to get me to say anything? I'm like, oh, Jesus, we're in for... Oh, that's very clever, what you bastards
did. Yeah, all of a sudden, it's like...
Yeah, that was definitely a fun episode.
This is a real cop? No, I'm in jail. What? I'm in really jail? And, oh my God, I'm going to pee myself.
And the actor did such a good job of selling both sides of that. Yes, that was really well done. Mitch and Pileggi, I like, you know, I mean, good. I think that it will allow them to kind of delay the
romance.
Inevitable. Right. Yes. You know, okay, so she was sort of with somebody for a little while, and now, you know, he's maybe sort of,
he's
she thinks he is,
this whole
misinformation. They could deal with that for a while.
Yeah, because the first season, he was the rogue. He was the Romeo.
Lothario.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she was like not putting up with this crap. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, well, I have feelings for her. I have feelings for him, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. Oh, wait a minute. My ex showed up? Okay, cool. Hey, let's go to the Hamptons for 3 months.
Woo. Must be nice, right?
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it's got to be nice.
Yeah. Write a book.
Oh, okay.
PG Holyfield, when you blow up to the level of Castle, make sure you remember the little people.
Yes. Remember those people who helped you out and loved your stuff and edited your stuff.
I did forget. I'm sorry. After Balticon, I guess we can talk about this later, but we will be giving away an autographed copy of Murder at Avedon Hill.
Wow.
Ooh. So that's a teaser. Not really. I mean, so I just told you. But you can't win it now, but there will be some kind of contest coming up.
So maybe we'll mention that in the news section.
Maybe. Don't hurt yourself, man.
No, I hit the headphones. It's fine. The headphones hit that. It was awesome.
It sounded like it hurt.
I didn't sneeze, so it's fine. I once had a head injury with blood
injured,
from a sneeze.
Yeah. Injured yourself very badly from
yes,
a sneeze.
Yes, I did.
All right. We'll take a cold medicine, and then we'll just... you know, give you a helmet as well.
Okay.
Let's see. I would have attended Fallout's goth prom on Saturday night. However, I was stuck in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
How come anytime there's a hike into the Heart of Darkness, you sign up?
Because it's the Heart of Darkness.
Okay.
Hello.
All right.
Being the good son-in-law that I am and letting my in-laws show me off at their church's Maidberry Days picnic.
Wow.
Yes. Andy Griffith.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Dude,
yeah.
I'm from North Carolina.
Yes. Yeah.
I know it. Not only do I know exactly where you were, I probably know the best flipping oak tree to get out of the damn sun and during on that parade route too.
No, there was no parade
route. No parade?
Well, it was just a church's picnic that they did.
Oh. Okay.
So it wasn't,
I'm thinking of something different then.
Well, and I'm sure they have it. It just wasn't there. I mean, they had members of the church dressing up as members from, you know.
Ooh, Andy. How many people were Floyd the Barber? That's what I want to know.
Only one.
Really?
They only had one each.
Oh.
So.
Oh, so they had to fight for him.
I think so.
Nice.
Well, the short girl got the Opie role.
Wow.
Awesome.
I spent the time making snarky comments and praying for thunderstorms. And by God, I got a thunderstorm. It got
Did
me
you
out of
really?
That picnic about two. Got me out of that picnic at least an hour to an hour and a half early.
That is what we call a dick move.
Way to go.
Oh,
ruin
no.
it for everybody else.
Oh,
Bruce.
I don't care. Because it was funny because I'm waiting for everybody to come out of church, and this old, you know, this attractive older woman with a little baby is walking through, and they're like, and the first rumbles of thunder happened, and the I'm a better Foley.
Boom.
The first exactly the first rumbles of thunder come through, and the older lady looks at me and goes, well, you know what that means? I said, yes, they're blowing up Virginia.
Nice.
Awesome.
They're bombing Virginia. And it was just one of those days.
If I had a dollar for every time you've terrified members of a church congregation.
Oh, yes. You'd have five, six.
No,
five.
I'd have a lot of money. Yeah. Keep going.
Okay. It was funny. My mother-in-law introduced me. Oh, this is Bruce. We've heard so much great things about you. Trust me, they're all lies.
Nice.
I did buy some movies over this weekend.
Yeah,
some Blu-rays because our store up here is closing.
That's
so
true. It is
our movies gallery that we have up here is closing. So I bought a couple DVDs. I'm not going to talk about them yet because I haven't seen them yet. So I just bought them. I haven't had time to watch them.
They'll make
them
it into your geeky week when you watch them.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So other than going back to the gym for the first time in 2 months, and finally,
have you been hurt?
Yeah, I've actually had tendonitis in my elbow.
Oh.
So other than that, that's pretty much been my geeky week.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's see. I pretty much think you took... Oh, you didn't mention that we also played the demo for Lips. Huh? Karaoke singing time. What?
Yeah, there were only about three songs in the demo, but it was really pretty fun, and you can do it as a duet, and the interface was really very user-friendly. You can see, you know, yours
it's,
and
it's
the
a straight-up karaoke
especially if you
game.
Didn't know the song really all that well. It was good. Yeah.
It was fun. I'd be interested.
If we can catch a copy, like, really, really cheap, then we might pick that up.
Played some Assassin's Creed 2, the sequel, of course, to Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Okay, so that went too fast. Fun. If you played the first one, this is a better version of the first game.
That's what I've heard.
It's cleaner. It's smoother. The crowd stuff, it reacts a lot better. They've streamlined the interface, so you don't, after each mission, have to go back
and forth.
So fun, but I've sent it back because I sent it back this morning because Blur is here, and as
who needs that, right?
As soon as Glee is done tonight, I will be playing Blur.
Yes,
and that's all I'll be doing for quite a while. And then, we're out of town this weekend. Damn it!
Well, we're out of town for like really fun, awesome reasons. So.
It's Blur.
I know, baby. But you own it, and you'll be able to play it for forever.
I understand. Wow, moving on. What the hell did I do? Okay. So, I actually put our intern to work.
Wow.
Yay.
He's been there for like 3 months now? You put him to work?
Okay, more than, I know. Less like, than 3 months.
5 days.
I know. Sam, go ahead.
So last Friday, because again, everyone else at my job seems to think, you know what? We know stuff's coming up 3 weeks, a month ahead of time. Let me wait till the last damn day to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this contest that we play that involves you going out to a bunch of businesses and getting sound drops from all the people that work there.
Okay, yeah, I know
right.
the one.
Exactly. So the game started this yesterday,
yes.
And on Friday is when the last bit of all these things were turned over to me so I could put it all together.
Okay.
On Friday.
Yes, of course.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Because you don't do anything on the weekends.
No, I have nothing else to do on a Friday. I had the intern sit down with a sheet of paper. I'm like, okay, here's this. Listen to all these, make sure they're right. Now go listen to them in the studio and make sure that they're all right there as well. Outstanding. Fantastic. Put him to work. It was good.
Good.
Had him
good.
Go type stuff up. That
you
was,
have a lackey.
No,
how about a minion?
You do. You have a minion.
Not really.
In your evil empire.
Well, we'll see. I don't think so. It's just crazy. Finally got off my lazy ass and got the Starfest interviews posted. All five are posted.
Okay.
So if you want to hear me talk with Tim Rose or Gary Lockwood or Ford Austin or Vincenzo Natali or Marina Sirtis, by all means. And you'll have you'll have a damn fine time listening to Gary Lockwood talk. I swear to God, if you ever see that man anywhere, just have him tell a story. I don't care where he is. Okay. I know he's an old man. It looks like he'll probably just ramble or whatever. But no. This is an old man's story that you'll want to hear because this man has the greatest stories ever. I don't even have all the great stories in here because what he said about Roger Ebert, apparently Screen Geeks will be releasing as a bonus episode.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
With an explicit tag, huh?
I don't know.
Maybe?
Do you need an explicit tag? You need an explicit tag for what he was talking about before we officially started the interviews.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Damn.
Wow.
That hit the record button
early
enough.
It was a great story that involved Dennis Hopper. Let's just say that.
And peanut butter?
No, but driving around and relaxing, if you will.
Okay.
I also, yesterday, no, today. What
today?
Damn day is this?
Tuesday.
I have lost my damn mind. Oh, my God. Interviewed Elmo and Cookie Monster.
You did.
I heard that. You talk about you're going to do that today on The Daily Show.
I did. Okay, so Sesame Street Live is coming to Richmond. And since we're giving away free tickets, there's a thing. They're canned interviews.
Of course, yeah.
You know, of course. But so here's just to pimp the thing out. So being the audio wizard that I am, I didn't go too far off, but I went off script a little bit.
Okay.
In fact, there's one moment where Cookie Monster jokes about, I'm like, well, so what do you guys like most about the show? Is it singing? Is it dancing? And Elmo's like, oh, yeah, dancing is a bit of a shut the hell up, Elmo. But then Cookie Monster jumps in and is like, yeah, dancing and cookies. I'm like, well, maybe you can combine the two and make like a cookie conga line. And because I'm clever, I took a part of them laughing from the early part of the interview and put it there so they laughed at my joke. Because you can do anything with audio.
You can. You really can. That was cool.
Thank you. That's pretty good.
Even though it was for the day job, you should put those up on the feed. I'm sure people would want to hear that.
No, my day job would not be happy if anything that I did whatsoever with my day job showed up there. Which I think is kind of a damn shame. No, I'm not even going to go there. But let's just say I also have extra work that I have to do now because someone's an ass. And I'm not going to name names, but you know who I'm talking about. Moving on. Didn't we watch something else? Because I swear to God I had something, but I don't have it written down. We didn't watch another movie? We didn't have another... Okay, well then fine. In that case, I suppose that's my... I was called a racist today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, talk about school.
God.
Billy Flynn is an A student.
I am. Yes. I'm an A student right now, and there's this team project we have that's due next week. Not this coming Monday, but a week from this coming Monday.
Okay,
Memorial Day.
So,
a week from Memorial Day.
So 2 weeks from yesterday.
The 7th of June?
Yeah. I'm confused.
The 7th of June.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
We've known about this big, it's week 5 project. We've been working on it in stages pretty much the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, there's this one girl in the class who's already lost her cool and like yelled at people and literally told someone in the public forum that you need to check yourself in a communications class. I found this interesting.
Okay.
You want to save the punchline for the end? Okay, sorry.
That's fine.
That's usually how jokes go.
Usually. We start with the punchline first.
That was the punchline?
No.
There is a the irony, the twist.
Oh, sure. Fine. Well, the fun part of this project that we're doing. Her part in this is to take our overall PowerPoint presentation. All we got to do is make a 10 to 15 minute PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
Each one of us are taking different slides. We're going to submit it. She's supposed to take all of our work, all of our information, and put it together to make the overall final PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. You know, cut and paste, put it together.
She's freaking out, yelling at people in our damn team forum today because, okay, all the bullets from everybody are not due until tomorrow.
Okay.
She's in there talking about how someone else posted a rough draft of a PowerPoint presentation with the information so far. Mm-hmm. And she's upset because, someone else is doing her job. She's done all this work. It's not fair for her to have to do more work.
I guess what she thought is everyone was going to send her bullets in Microsoft Word, and then she was going to then take it and put it
and
in
put
the
PowerPoint.
But that wasn't communicated clearly.
Okay. So I post a message. She posts. She calls me because, you know, we put our phone number so we can talk to each other. She calls me. Mm-hmm. Starts saying things like, well, maybe you don't read all the posts. And it's like, no, I read everything that's in here. Well, I don't know if it's because I'm African-American. That's why this racism is going on. I'm like, whoa. Stop. You just lost all credibility with me right there. Okay, you are the one that's in this thing, spouting negative, yelling, how about everyone's out to get you. I don't know. We're having the hugest, craziest conflict on our PowerPoint presentation of conflict management resolutions.
I think you automatically fail. Just because of that.
My two slides that I'm responsible for, I have found what is a conflict management style, another one, just describe a different one. And I decided to pick one that doesn't work, which is a competitive style, which is where if you're in charge and instead of working with the group, you have to be right. It doesn't matter what the end result is, but you have to be right about what you thought you have to be right.
Because it's a competition.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And I said the way that we do things was a collaborative state because up until this moment, we'd been collaborating. It's been a long time since I've been called a racist, and to have it, and I'm sorry, I don't care what this sounds like, to be screamed at by an angry black lady telling me that I'm a racist because I don't see things from her point, that I don't see that she's right based on what she says. I just, I'm like, look, lady, I've read all the same stuff you have. You say these people are being rude to you. I don't see that in here.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you should talk to the team leader because I'm not that
person.
Yeah,
you're not even the team leader.
I'm not even the team leader.
But otherwise, tell them about your grades in the class.
It's an A. There you go. Mm-hmm.
I cannot see the world from your point of view because I cannot stick my head up my ass that far.
Basically, so crazy.
That's gross.
Okay,
if you actually try to do it, yes.
I suppose that it would be, yes. So there is that.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
We'll be at Balticon this weekend, where apparently we're going to be bringing back an autographed copy of Murdered Avedon Hill for you to get some way, shape, or form.
There's tons of good stuff going at Balticon. Apparently, T and Pip have been hinting at some big announcement. There'll be a big Murdered Avedon.
They eloped. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
There'll be a big Murdered Avedon Hill party, you know, release party for the book. So that's going to be fun. There'll be all different kinds of events and fun and panel and parties. And it's going to be awesome. And I'm so excited.
There will not, however, be a room party in my room.
No.
Okay. We're making the definitive statement.
No, it's going to be a party in my pants. And everybody's going to
Okay.
But there is not going to be a room party in my room.
We're making a definitive statement now.
I don't care what little rumors you might have heard or anything else. Not happening. I'm an old man and I'm going to sleep. And I have schoolwork that I have to do over this weekend as well.
But even if we choose to stay up, we will stay up someplace else.
We'll stay up in someone else's room.
Yes. Make them.
Yes. This is not my first con. We're going to party in someone else's room.
We don't have to be that special.
Okay, and we'll just we'll go talk to Earl. We'll go find a singing pirate. We'll have a damn fine time.
The panels are already up. The schedule's already up for the public to boot.
I should probably look at that.
Yeah, you should. Your the GRD panel.
Yeah,
that I'm not gonna be at. Is gonna be Friday.
Friday when?
Well, Friday's, I'm checking it now.
8 o'clock, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll make it there.
Yeah, double check that one.
We'll see.
But yeah, I looked at it maybe 2 days ago and saw that. I was like, oh, look, scroll. Oh, okay. Wow. I wonder if Billy's going to be able to go to that one.
We're leaving early.
We are leaving early, but
you always tell them nothing on Friday.
I always tell every con I go to, please, if it's anything on Friday, it's going to be late, 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 late Friday. And everyone keeps wanting to put, at least it's not 4 o'clock like RavenCon
this,
was.
This is true. This is very, very true.
Good God Almighty. All right, well, I'm not prepared for that at all, so.
Well.
Well, that's going to be, okay, you ready for my geeky week from Balticon? I've been playing Blur. There you go. Welcome to the future, folks. And we'll be at Dragon Con and other stuff like that and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, what do you got to do? What do you got to do?
You've got mail.
Did you see where Josh Holloway was on the set of his new movie? Snakes on a Plane 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
That's awesome!
They ripped us off!
Instantly made me think of GRD. That's from Ryan. Okay, Ryan, yes, did see that. Uh-huh. That was amazing. That was fantastic. And, sir, you're not giving credit where credit's due. They actually had the Electric Boogaloo there.
Yes!
He was there!
The two guys, yeah.
My God.
In the regular clothes, and they're...
It was beautiful.
Oh my God.
It was
that was a moment. That was definitely a moment.
That was a beautiful
moment. And Josh Holloway, comedic, that was pretty funny. I'd never really seen him do anything funny, and he's breakdancing and he was having a good time. That was fun.
Really? You never saw him try to act serious on never mind.
Ha ha.
I was like, my God, they ripped us off.
Yeah, because we're the ones that came up with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of the popularizers now.
Well, it's true. Yeah. You know, well, we popularize everything. Like Jonathan.
Hey, this is Jonathan from Birmingham. I heard you latest weekly. And
good. It was fun, wasn't it?
You know, you put the spoiler up. I have not watched an episode of Lost for the past 2 months. So all I got to say is, and if you don't get this, you're not a geek, is, Flynn! Sorry, I've watched too many Star Trek movies. But, so you spoiled that for me. Also, you really didn't, Mr. Flynn, you really didn't answer my question about who... she kills. You may have, and I may have missed it, but River Song kills in Doctor Who. I theorize, I agree with you on all aspects of the show about the Doctor being the one who causes the rip in the universe, but...
That's becoming a very popular theory now, too.
The rip, wouldn't the decoder have shown 25/06/2010 instead of 26/06/2010, or the date that he first met her when she was a kid instead of the 26th of June 2010. So what do you think about that, huh? Got you there. Maybe not.
I don't think you have me there, sir.
I'm run that by you. All I got to say is dang you about getting your early screening of Doctor Who episodes.
I'm special, man.
Also, like you guys said, Flash Forward is canceled. I want your take on that. What you think of that? If you've been keeping up with that show. Another question. Wolfie, I haven't heard from him or anything. Of course, I haven't been on the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Ding! Yes, I said it. I can't say I haven't seen him on the forums because that'd be a bold-faced lie.
Who?
Also, I know that
he's got a girl.
And then we're trying to do some kind of live thing with Dragon Con last year, and that's all I really heard about him. Of course, where's that video you guys shot of Dragon Con back in 08?
We shot a video? At Dragon Con?
We shot a video? No, we didn't.
In 08?
No.
I don't believe we did, sir.
That guy in the corner had a video camera.
Really?
No, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm sure he
wasn't
did.
There.
No, you weren't. Okay, so first off, River Song, I believe River Song killed the Doctor in the future. Or at least that's what it looks like as far as people could tell. With me? With me?
A Doctor that then regenerated or what?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not killed.
Well, but as far as they know, she killed him. You know, that's just my best guess. It could be Zaphod Beeblebrox as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who she killed in the future.
Pangalactic Gargleblox.
She's not who he thinks that she is entirely, and who really is. You know, as a student of communications, I can tell you that people are never exactly what they seem. You're going to have to get to know them and form a more intimate relationship before the self-disclosure really... God, I got to stop doing this homework. Also, I don't know what you're talking about with the different time frame things, but while I'm on this, I don't remember if I actually brought this up, but did I tell you that the Doctor has been traveling back and forth in time?
Yes.
In this season?
Yes.
And then I mentioned in the very first episode.
He goes and whispers to
he's not wearing a jacket.
Amy.
Right.
Yeah,
but in the 11th hour, the very first episode of this season.
Goes back and talks to the little girl.
Well, see, no, he doesn't, but he almost does. Right after the Doctor has saved the world, he jumps into the TARDIS and takes off, leaving Amy and Rory standing there. And then we get a scene of young Amelia Pond still sitting on a briefcase. It's daytime now. She's waiting, and you hear the TARDIS, and she looks up. And when she looks up, adult Amy Pond wakes up. And here's why. Because Matt Smith at some point in time is going to go back and see young Amelia Pond again, because it's happened, but it hasn't quite happened yet. When Amy Pond woke up from that little dream, it was not a dream. This is her almost remembered suppressed memory that she hasn't had yet of the doctor visiting her when she was a child. Did you stay with that? Did you stay with that?
That was the sound of my brain exploding.
No,
wow.
I got what you're saying.
So, dude, yeah, if you're talking about there being different time stuff happening in her village, yeah, her village is like right in the crux of all this. The whole thing is off. The technology is off. The badges with dates on them, none of it makes sense. It's all, the heart of it is right there. And if I'm not mistaken, there's another floor to Amy Pond's place that we haven't been to yet. Don't think I haven't forgotten about that. Moving on.
Hey, it's Rob again.
Rob!
First mail, second time around. Just wanted to call and say that I saw Shrek.
Sorry.
Not as bad as it could have been.
Really? Okay.
They didn't force the jokes too bad. But hopefully it's done.
Yeah.
I did not see it in 3D. But I did have free passes, so that made it helping me look...
it's less painful when you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, it helps.
So anyway, so I just thought I'd call and put my 2 cents in on that movie. Hopefully we'll see you at Balticon.
Yes, indeed, sir.
I'll be there Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, I'll see you Friday. You're probably running the audio.
Hopefully we'll see you there. And take care.
Rob ran the audio on the patio room last year. So, yeah, we'll probably see you Friday at 8, did you say? Friday at 8.
What time?
9 o'clock, actually. It's 9 o'clock on Friday.
Even better. Yep. We should be able to get there by then.
I was trying to remember. It was about that time.
Shrek made $70 million, which sounds like a lot of money. But apparently,
I'd take $70 million. I certainly would.
But apparently for Shrek, that is not considered a lot of money. They were expecting to get somewhere about a $125 opening weekend.
Really?
And they did not.
Wow.
So you made $70 million.
How much the budget?
I think it's $200 million budget. Pretty much everything is nowadays.
Yeah. So they'll probably make it. They will make it back. But still, not having the
maybe
huge
it will finally discourage from.
Well, they've already said they're not doing another one. The actors want to. The producers said no.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
We'll see if someone writes a check.
If it had made $200 million, then, they might have. Yeah. They'd be filming it right now. Right. Probably. Exactly. Yeah.
So Craig checks in.
Hey and hello, Billy, the Flintstress, and the Bruce. This is Craig, and I wanted to drop you a line, give you a pat on the back, a little shout out, give you some props for the good work that you're doing.
Thanks.
I just recently checked out the Parsec Awards site, and they have a partial list of the podcasts that have been submitted for this year's competition. Of course, GRD is present and accounted for on the shortlist.
Really?
Duh. I do have to say that I downloaded several of the nominated podcasts, and I've listened to quite a few of them, or at least I listened to as much as I could before deleting the whole pack of them.
Wow.
Hearing what's out there really does amplify the lock that GRD has on entertaining, informative, and professionaloid podcasting. So again, strong work. Basically, all the
like
other groups seem to be Joe and Jane six-packs giggling and talking over one another, overusing sound effects for no good reason, and having a great time producing unlistenable programming. I just thought I should let you know. And don't let it go to your heads, and don't start wearing shades while you're podcasting, and don't start bickering like the Beatles and have to break up the band. But
I'm Yoko.
Is a superior product, and I, for one, thank you.
Dude.
So, until the talent-challenged, numb-mouthed mass herd of wannabe podcasters either evolve or die off, make mine geekradiodaily.com. Ding! Sorry, Billy. Hope I beat you to the punch on that one.
Nope,
not quite.
Take care, you three. Have fun, and keep the good stuff coming. Over and out.
Well, dude, thank you.
Dude, that was a verbal pimp slapping everybody else, wasn't it?
I don't even know what to say.
Still, that was really nice. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, dude, that's... wow, so if we're nominated, we have to submit some kind of stuff to them. Or
I think so. I'll go on.
When?
You're in charge of that, though.
Yeah. I'll check the site.
Yeah.
I'll check the site. I'll check the... Well, you're going to be at Balticon for the rules. They're going to read the rules, aren't you? Yeah.
They usually
I'll
do,
keep
but it's...
my eye out for whatever goes on. Project-related at Balticon.
They usually have that when I'm scheduled for something else.
No, but seriously, with fans like that, I mean, who needs awards? It's just... We just have a really great time doing this.
I want both, guys.
Thanks.
That's because someone's insecure.
Oh, snap.
Well, you can't say, hey, I got fans. I'll say, hey, I got fans and I got an award. I'm good with that.
What voice was that exactly?
Who cares?
And I got an award. Hey, Mr. Luthor, I got an award here.
In Otisburg?
Tiny little place.
Tiny little place.
Come on.
You're talking about Parks and Rec with Rob Lowe? When he was on there, I love that line he has where he says, scientists believe that the first man to live to 150 is already born, and I believe I am that man. I think that is a great intro sounder. I want that sounder for my podcast.
Oh.
That is in my head. Oh. Actually, I'm just going to imagine that in my head next time anybody says my name, and then I'll laugh, and they won't know why.
They won't know why.
Okay, wait.
I want to listen to JabbaCast.
Oh, see? And he just heard it in his head. I believe I am that man. Jabba. You just heard it again. Jabba.
Jabba.
That was a funny
Mufasa,
line.
Say it again.
Rob Lowe is the wonderful, is the best smarmy, not even smarmy. He is the upbeat.
He genuinely
yes.
believes it. He's
we can do anything.
Yes,
we can do anything. Absolutely, I support that. Ben, can we do that? No,
nope.
it's not the budget. Ben says we can't do it.
Sorry, Ben.
Okay, I'm going to go run.
Good cop, bad cop to the max. And then he runs like 5 miles and isn't even sweaty.
Yes. Yes.
Because he is that cool.
Yeah,
he is that professional.
He's got his heart rate, his target heart rate going. Yeah. So yeah,
really funny, really funny addition to the show.
Yeah, quite good. So thank you for the notes. Thank you for all the kind words from everybody. And if you'd like something to say,
here's something to say. Kumquats.
There you go. But if you'd like to say something to us, Wombats is always a good choice. Drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, salt at geekradiodaily.com, or of course send that voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Where is that now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Once more, they're almost done.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
You don't look good. Mm. I don't
think she heard me.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Don't overlook my butt. I work out all the time, and reaping burns a lot of calories.
Okay. At the beginning of the show, when I do my intro, she can't look at me when I do it. When she does that voice, I can't look at her because she wiggles when she says it,
yeah.
says the number.
Yeah.
I can't look at you when
yeah.
you do that.
Right?
Now I'm blushing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the most information you've shared with the world. Hi. So what's going on?
Oh, okay.
What is it?
Fit Club?
Uh-huh.
All the geek without the weight.
Thank you.
Yes, sorry, I got
it. That's your line, brother.
All right. When you are recovering from an injury, there are steps you need to take when you are recovering from an injury.
Baby steps.
Baby steps, definitely. Mostly right now, I'm talking about injuries to joints and muscles. But injuries to bone are a little bit different. You have to make sure everything's set first.
Bone. Sorry.
Congratulations, Beavis.
Please insert funny line here.
The first thing you need to make sure is all the swelling has gone down and there is no pain from simple movements. Quiet.
God, what the hell?
She is just going to...
Fit Club always sounds dirty to me.
It really does, because you have a dirty, dirty mind.
Continue. Cartoon bears never wear pants.
Okay, well.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You were saying?
The Fit Club just going to give you straight lines for the entire show. Okay, first thing you need to make sure that you do is all the swelling has gone down, all the pain has gone down, and you don't have any pain from simple movements. The first thing you need to do right after that is range of motion. You always have to make sure that you can get the joint to work full range of motion, that you can bend your elbow or extend your leg just like you could before. After that comes endurance training. Now, this is the problem where most people mess up. When they get back to the gym, it's like, all right, yeah, I'm not hurt. What's I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to strength training and do the exact same thing
yeah,
I just
brother.
Did before. Problem is, that's what hurt you before, and you've been out for 2 months. You don't have the endurance.
Ah.
Yes. So this is where people mess up. When you go back to weight training or any sort of endurance training, any sort of real training, take it slow. Get your endurance back. If you are a cyclist and you are, you like to ride on the bike for 20 miles a day, you hurt your thigh like somebody recently did, and you've been out for a couple of months, don't start off with a 10-mile ride and wonder why your leg hurts. Take it slow. Do a long, extended warm-up. Get, light work. Don't
foreplay.
Take it nice and easy. Yes, exactly, foreplay. Take it nice and easy and do an extended cool-down. And then afterwards, do a long bout of stretching. You need to do all of that so your body can adapt and basically can heal completely so you can go back to where you were versus not hurting yourself again.
Don't let the sounds of your own wheels make you crazy. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. It's helpful advice because, far too often people go to the gym. Oh, I can do this. I can do anything.
Yeah,
and then if you ever watch that Perfect Strangers episode, you'll realize that 2 days later, you're not going to be able to move.
Exactly.
So let's not
do that. The barbell
on
your neck's not a good idea. Oh,
no.
Oh, you went there. Perfect Strangers.
Don't be ridiculous. So please, by all means, come by the forums at geekradiodaily.com. There's an entire Fit Club section there for you to ask questions just like someone did. Someone's like, oh, if only I knew a personal trainer. Hey, wait. I'm going to come ask you. And they did that. So please, by all means, come on by. We'll make it happen. It's fantastic stuff. We are getting ready to say goodbye to our favorite show, like of all time, basically. And it's going to be happening coming up in just a moment. I'm going to try to be strong. Be strong. And we'll be
you
right
can do
back.
Do it, brother.
Journey's Weekly, episode 83.
In a world where P.G. Holyfield...
No. I'm not doing that kind of promo. This is supposed to be an audio blurb promo. You know, like this.
Hi, this is Matthew Wayne Selznick. You know, my friend P.G. Holyfield's epic fantasy mystery is just alive with rich characters in a fully realized world where you'll want to stay long after you learn the truth of the murder at Avedon Hill.
Can you do that for me?
Sandra Bullock wrote... Murder at Avedon Hill took my mind off Jesse James. Thank you, PG.
She has had a rough time lately. Wait, who is this talking?
Stephen King says PG Holyfield could be the next Stephen King if it didn't take him 5 years to write a book.
Mark Nemkoff? Is that you?
Donny Osmond writes, I lost my virginity while listening to Murder at Avedon Hill.
That can't be true. He's got like 6 kids, doesn't he?
SpongeBob SquarePants says, Hey, you're the second Patrick I know that doesn't wear pants.
Only when I record audio.
Abraham Lincoln says, I loved Murder at Avedon. My head! I have a head wound.
Now that's just wrong.
Katie Sackhoff says, I read Murder at Avedon Hill in the bathtub every night. Considering the... I've had. I think I love this man.
I really don't think that's going to sell any books, Mark. Murder at Avedon Hill. Available on Amazon.com. For more information, please visit pgholyfield.com.
Adam Curry says listening to Murder at Avedon Hill is like ordering a 10-inch through mail order and finding out they've upgraded you to a 12-inch one at no extra charge.
That's enough, Mark.
Seth Harwood says, I read Murder at Avedon Hill in the bathtub every night. Considering the orgasms I've had, I think I love this man.
That's good.
Hi, this is Marina Baccarin, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Category, top 10 signs you're obsessed with Lost, number 10.
After each episode, you do an all-kitty reenactment in your basement.
Wow. Nothing wrong with that, my friend. Number 9.
You refer to your in-laws as the others.
Yeah. Number 8.
While visiting New York, you stood over every manhole and screamed, Good God, a secret hatch.
See? Exactly what I'm talking about. Number 7.
You're halfway to your goal of licking every cast member.
That's right. That's a sign you're obsessed with Lost. Number 6.
Your friend phoned during Lost. Next day, you beat him to death with a hot poker.
Ooh, a hot poker. Number 5.
You pitched NBC a show about 12 people stranded backstage at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's right. Number 4.
Co-workers affectionately refer to you as that loser who's obsessed with Lost.
See, there you go. That would be a sign. And number 3.
Renamed dental practice, Flossed.
Well, that's... You see, that's not a bad idea right there. And number 2.
Your wife is getting sick of playing the bedroom game, Find the Castaway.
Ooh. And the number 1 sign you're obsessed with Lost.
You sat through all 10 of these lame jokes.
That's right.
GRD's Weekly. It's episode 83, and yes, I believe we are officially off the island.
Oh no!
So after six seasons, it's come to an end, and just right away we're going to delve into this. Obviously,
if you're still listening at this point and you haven't seen it, and I mean, you need to. As much as we love you, this would be the time to turn off and go listen to Murder at Avedon Hill.
Wait for the music to end.
Something like that. So right away, just initial overall thoughts and impressions. Did you like the finale?
Yes.
I did like the finale, and I know there's been a lot of criticism of the finale, but haters, take it back. I thought it was good.
There certainly has.
If you didn't like the last episode, you really weren't a fan of the show because you didn't quite get it.
You know, I'm going to go with you on that one. Absolutely.
I did definitely find myself explaining it to several coworkers, and we did also have an interesting conversation as far as where the Lost finale ranked. You know, we were talking about like
MASH and
The Sopranos and Seinfeld and Battlestar Galactica, and certainly better than all of those by
far. Well, if you go to, you know, start relating it to other shows such as The Sopranos and whatnot, I think it would be better than all of those. See what I did.
We just black out here and be like, okay, show's over.
I understand why they did that with Sopranos, and I do understand why people were pissed off at that.
With the finale, you're not supposed to give everybody everything that they want.
No, because there's no way to do that. With a show like this, you cannot possibly answer every question.
No matter how hard you work, you're going to piss somebody off.
And again, as we said, I believe last week, and again with this, they already answered more questions than Battlestar Galactica did, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They gave us a lot of info.
They gave you enough to wrap it up. They didn't answer everything, but who cares?
I suppose. So the journey of all of our castaways, our lost people, strange places that it went to.
Yeah, it did. It was very interesting. You were expecting... We were going through the season and seeing the sideways flashes as what would happen if they never crashed on the island.
If Jacob had never been an influence in their life at all. Yeah.
And now then you realize
that's
at the end.
That's not what that is. Ooh,
that's not what that was.
That is at all.
It was... my theory of that... Are we going to... Let's start with there.
That's the biggest point of contention in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. My thought of it was somewhere between Purgatory... And I hate to break out this reference. It's the Nexus from Generations, Star Trek Generations. Somewhere between those two points. Because it's the way station on the way to heaven.
Okay.
And it's their perfect, it's their life as they would want to have lived it.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Even though they all survive, you know, don't crash on the island, and they all land in LAX, and they all go about their lives, even though that happens all simultaneously, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, they all die and end up in this holding place at different times.
Yes.
You know, we see Jack die, eyes closed, on the island. Yes. Everybody else, you know, dies at their different times. Yes. Kate and Sawyer, they get off the island.
Some of them long after you.
And they say that. Just because they all end up in the same place at the same time doesn't mean that they all got there at the same time
That's where the Nexus part came into it, because everybody died whenever they happened to have died. Boone, season one. Hurley, who knows when he died. And then all of them are there.
Hurley was likely, you know, very, 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 very far in the past, because he's now the immortal one guarding the island. But eventually that means he got somebody else to take his place because he ended up there. I don't know. You had to be really kind of esoteric about this. You really had, this is upper, higher brain level kind of functions.
I mean, they did answer, the questions that were being answered is what were all of these people doing on this island?
Yes.
And for that, they answered that question.
Yes, they did.
That's exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. Did they tell you everything about the island? No.
No, they didn't tell you the real why the smoke monster was what he was.
No, he was just a pissed off guy.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he was a
They never told
angry.
You his name?
No.
The Man in Black? Nope.
Nope. Not going
to
get
it. He's fracking cash.
Not necessary. I mean, you didn't need to have everything wrapped up.
Yeah.
Now, I particularly enjoyed the fact that kind of like everybody who was meant to be together ended up together, like the romance aspect of it. But I could see people considering that aspect a little bit sappy.
Well, the thing is, they weren't together until the purgatory area.
Right.
They
all ended up together. Yes, they get to spend the afterlife together.
And then that's where, you know, I saw that as the island's gift to the survivors.
But wouldn't that be Hurley's gift, his last little act? Oh, by the way, Hurley did not take over as the new Jacob. He took over as the new Jack.
Right.
So,
right.
So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine. You want to get all
technically? Yes, Jack did have it for about about an hour, three or 4 hours. Yeah,
yeah. He had it for
just
a
in time to wreak havoc, unplug the island, kill not Locke, Man in Black, replug in the island, die, and then, you know, give it over to Hurley. Awesome.
I saw that it's a place that, you know, you all invented this so you'd be able to find each other. I think that has something to do with Hurley. And
Possibly, somewhere
there's other stories because Claire's the new Russo, or did she get on the plane?
She got on the plane.
She got on the plane.
Okay,
she's raising Aaron with some help from Claire.
True.
I mean, from Kate, hopefully getting some counseling for her traumatic experience.
Yes,
but she does go on to be his mom. That's what she was meant to be.
That island is still there. There's still other things that happen on that island. Other people are going to find their way to this island, whether Hurley's trying to bring them there or not.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of the beast, but what is the island? Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't know that I really care. It's a magical, mythical thing.
Yes.
And that's all I really need to know.
Yeah.
That's all I really need to know.
It was well. It was very, very well done. The final scene where not everybody goes to heaven. There are exclusions.
Okay, but I don't know that. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Walt and Michael.
Well, yeah. Michael, Harold Pirno, or however you say his name, says himself, he said it on the Jimmy Kimmel special afterwards, that he believes that Michael is still on the island.
He's still on the island somewhere.
As a ghost somewhere.
Yes. You know, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Walt did not have the connection with these people that they did.
Michael did a lot of bad things.
He did.
I mean, he, so did everybody to a certain extent. But, I mean, I don't, you know, if you balance, you think about it as a scale. I don't know. Michael had enough good to tip. I don't know that he had his redemption time.
But Michael did. Okay, fine. He killed Anna Lucia.
Yeah.
But he also killed Libby. And since he killed Libby, we'll never exactly know why she was trying to hunt him, Hurley, down in the mental institution. We'll never quite know that. So for that reason alone, he should be a ghost. But was not knowing that one little thing enough of her? I know the answer to that. She was drinking and driving just like What's-Her-Face Anna Lucia in Hawaii.
Michelle Rodriguez.
And you're going to get kicked off a show for that. So I don't really have a problem with that.
You know, and shows are television shows that no matter what you might want to do with the story, sometimes real life gets in the way. Like, you know, we were just talking about how there was no Mr. Echo to be found.
Yes.
And I remember thinking that was a glaringly obvious omission.
Well,
it came down to money.
Yeah, it came down to money. The rumor that I had recently heard was they offered him a buttload of money to come on to the finale, and he wanted five times the amount. And they went, oh, we really don't need you.
I mean, you know, you want to get right down to it. They really did.
Didn't need him anyway. We didn't lose him.
Shannon and Boone, I mean, that was enough. And
that was great. I mean, the fact that they brought almost everybody, they brought everybody that needed to come back.
So I have to say this too, because I've read the complaints about people going, well, if they're all going after their one real true love, really? Saeed ends up with Shannon, not Nadia, really? Yeah, actually, really. Because you know why? Sure, he had a thing for Nadia. Absolutely, he did. But, wow, the circumstances just never, ever, ever really let that happen.
Yeah.
It's not the actual meaningful connection that he had with Shannon on the island.
Well, that's where I think it was the island's gift. Because he didn't fall in love with the Nadia on the island. He fell in love with Shannon on the island.
Right, and the island wouldn't have known about Nadia.
And those two deserve to be together on the island.
Okay. Kudos for seeing Vincent again.
Yes.
Because always a good time. Rose and Bernard. Look, that drama.
That brought a tear to my eye. I mean, just the dog laying beside him at the end.
You know that, I'm somewhat emotional. I pretty much cried the entire time. Yeah, pretty much the entire 2-3 hours, I pretty much bawled the entire time. Little breaks here and there, but yeah.
Again, there are folks that are really ticked off that, you know, every single question wasn't answered. People are wondering why were they still trying to steal all the kids and whatever happened with the psychic experiments. I think they gave us enough overall that if we really want to, fill that in ourselves, I think we could.
Yeah, we could.
I absolutely think we could.
You know,
we know
a lot more about the Dharma Initiative than we did, you know. I mean, there were,
We were trying to figure out Alvar Hanso, and he's got about as much to do with it as just go away.
Yeah, exactly.
That was just fun web games.
We were still trying to figure out the numbers. I'm like, what does the numbers have to do with? Oh, those were, you know, you never get a definitive answer about what the numbers were.
Well, interestingly enough.
Well, you talk about the cave?
Well, the cave and you know, and the thing, and they're everybody's number. They're one of them. And, oh, Jesus, how easy did they telegraph this to us the whole time? Jack is number 23.
And they board Oceanic 815 at gate 23.
It's been about Jack the whole damn time. We just didn't see it. We were too busy looking at everything else to not see what's right there in front of us.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine talk to me today about how there were people that were upset that this was a Jack-centric episode. I'm like, it had to be a Jack-centric. The first episode was about Jack. The last one needed to be about
him. We start the show with him opening his eye.
Yes.
And we end the show with him. We knew, you know, certain way in, Jack was going to die, and it's going to end with him closing his eye.
Yeah, all of us predicted that Jack was going to die somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
different reasons, different ways, but yeah, we all predicted Jack to die.
I mean, for love, if you look at the whole thing, whether Jack was there or not, it always kind of revolved around Jack.
We can't live together. We're going to die alone.
Come on. They made him the leader.
He wasn't even the reluctant leader. He was the one that stepped up first, and everybody went, okay, he can be the leader. And he was like,
and he had arguably the furthest to go with his personal journey.
Yes, he was the last one of everybody. I mean, he had to get his...
He struggled the hardest.
Yes, he did. Even in the purgatory, he had the farthest to go. Now, again...
Refusing to let some of these... The flashes of the island come through. No, I got to step away. No.
Yeah.
He fought it hard.
Yes, he did. And the whole fact that he had, he had his son, that's, again, I thought it was a gift. I mean, you'd had a child. You had this,
And then how cute is it if you go back and watch the first episode of this season and what happens, the turbulence, and then Rose looks over and goes, you can let go now. Just let go.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, oh my God. They put it right off.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping love this show. Mm-hmm. So yes, so here's what happened, folks. If you didn't watch it and you're still sticking with us, the deal to this is that, yes, the nice glowy cave, we get to go down there and find out that, I guess literally, there's a cork in the island
that
when the cork is in place, keeps the magic, mythical, shiny light that gives all the power and weirdness to the island glowing. And once you pull that out of there...
Everybody loses their powers.
Everybody loses their power, which was pretty fantastic.
Because you know, at one point, Notlock was like, I'm going to change into the smoke monster. I'm going to take... Oh, snap.
I'm
bleeding.
Not.
Oh, crap. Oh, this became a real fight. Snap.
And I give mad credit to this show. You realize we went to the last 40, 45 minutes without a villain. You realize that?
Yeah.
Because we killed him off and we still had 45 minutes of show to go. It was okay.
Well, we still had to wrap everything up.
We had to put the cork back in the island.
Yeah. We didn't want the island to sink. We had to put the bathtub cork
back
in.
And there's another thing I've heard someone else go, well, we saw at the beginning of the season that the island was underwater. The island sank. Well, they stopped it.
Yeah.
Hello?
That
was the
future.
Ultimate possible consequence of what was going on. We thought, was it because the bomb blew up? Well, no, we saw that it wasn't. Well, something happens to sink the island. Okay, well, we prevented it. Well, good for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
When pieces of the island started to fall off into the sea, and we're watching that from, Sawyer or whoever else it was's point of view, I was like, holy crap!
That was...
Breaking the island!
That
was amazing.
It was just insane. It was just absolutely insane. When we realized that when Hurley sticks around and Ben sticks around.
So Ben became the new Richard?
God, yes. Ben became the new Richard.
Yeah.
And
you were pretty good number one. Hey, you were pretty good number two.
Who does number two work for? You realize in that.
Who's number one?
I like that Ben didn't want to go inside. He was staying outside.
Yeah.
Now, you realize Miles wasn't in there either. So is this a place... Hurley, the island, whatever created, that they can stay there as long as they want to / need to until they're ready to go wherever's next? Because I think Ben, having realized this, would like to spend some quality time with Alex and Danielle.
That he can stay in this heaven purgatory?
Yeah. And by the way, Danielle Rousseau, the only person that actually looks better off the island than on, by the way.
Oh, God,
we argue about that. I personally prefer Clean Kate versus Dirty Kate, but you like Dirty Kate.
Clean Kate in this one in the dress? Okay, but
she was only partially clean. Her hair was still dirty.
But generally, no, she has to be Dirty Kate. Dirty Kate, Clean Kate doesn't really do so much. But anyway.
Yeah, Ben was like, wait a minute, I've got a possible girlfriend and my daughter, and I'm good with this. I'm going to stick around out here for a while.
And
I'll pass when I'm ready.
And I got the feeling that Miles is probably still there or whatever until he's ready for his little magic moment.
Right, and we still had
Walt's
got to
be in that world somewhere.
And we still had...
Possibly.
What's her name?
Charlotte?
Charlotte,
I think Walt, and it could be the fact that they left the island.
Could be.
It could be the fact that they didn't stay in the island. They left. But that has its own flaws, too.
Now, the fun thing about this is that there have been people who, since the very beginning of the show, have said, oh, they're all dead. This is purgatory. This is limbo. And I think it was, I've already forgot if it was Kotaku or wherever it was, but I was reading today, someone's like posted, like, you know, J.J. Abrams at a convention in 2005.
In 2005 said it wasn't purgatory.
Well, guess what? It's not.
It wasn't.
The flat, the sideways flash was, yes. But all the stuff on the island was real.
Was
all
real.
Happened,
real.
Every bit of it.
Yes, was their real life. Was realer than anything else they had ever done. Everybody's life was crap before they came to the island. The island was their place to fix themselves. And if they could, they moved on. If they couldn't, they didn't.
Which goes to show you, for as wrongheaded as he could have been over the time, you know, John Locke was right about a lot of things,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And even
and I love that Jack referenced that.
It's like he was right about almost everything. He was not right about even and, not Locke was arguing with him about that one.
And you're not John Locke.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're disgracing his memory by wearing his face. Like, oh, damn.
Nap.
See, here's the thing. Locke, Lost itself has always been basically, you know, that first season episode. Are you a man of science?
Are you a man of faith? Yes.
In that last hour, you were a man of science or not, if you didn't become a man of faith at least a little bit.
Every single one of them took a leap of faith.
Yes, they did.
They had to. They had to survive because science was not cutting it. This was not an island of science. This was an island of faith.
And that's the thing. The people who are disappointed that we didn't get more answers want empirical evidence, and there is no empirical evidence.
They
want to
know why. What is that light? What causes it? Where is it from?
Yeah.
And let's be honest. If we told you the damn island was a spaceship, wouldn't that have just pissed you off?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is God, really, when you get down to it? Now,
if
they had woken up in a shower, and all 3 years had not had happened.
I read somewhere online where they're trying to make that argument. They're trying to make the argument that none of this whole thing, that the reason Jack's eye opens at the very first one is because that's where he died on the plane, and that the whole thing wasn't real. I'm like,
No.
Like, I don't get that. That's not what's happening, folks.
No, it's not.
That's not what's happening at all. The show has always been about the characters. The characters just happen to end up on a very weird place.
Yes.
But it's always been about people.
It's been about relationships.
And their struggle,
about
their
friendship,
life, their love.
It's been about love. And
everybody's own personal drama and how to get through it.
And it's fitting that it ended that way. That these are, no matter how much time you spent with others in your life, these are the people that made the biggest impact in who you are as a person. And they should have all been together at the end, and they were.
Well, again, most of them were. Some were not. And those are the people that did not deal with their issues. Ana Lucia didn't deal with their issues. She didn't get in there.
So if you're saying to me, well, don't you think the concept of the thing ending with all of them possibly going off to heaven being listed by the Christian shepherd? I'll tell you, yeah. If you say it that way, that sounds a little ridiculous. But you know what? I watched all 6 seasons of this show, and I saw this, and I didn't. There's the argument. Sigler did this last year when talking about the Battlestar finale, that he doesn't want God in his sci-fi. Well, I'm sorry. Any sci-fi is always going to have some kind of technology that you don't understand, and that might as well be God.
It's magic.
It's magic. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
They very clearly referenced multiple religions there in that church.
There were Buddhist symbolism. Oh yeah, you saw
there
the background.
There was the yin-yang. There were
symbols.
Tons of different things.
The
camera of that window alone, they were there for quite a long time. Like, hey guys, look here, nudge, nudge. And plenty of other religions have some version of an afterlife. Whether it's Nirvana or whether, you know, whatever it is that it's called, there's something at the end.
And most things always come back to 2001: A Space Odyssey. If you were trying to introduce a completely, totally alien concept to a human being, how can you do that? You have to, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go into my communication stuff again. You're going to have to find areas of similarities.
Yes.
You're going to have to find something that they can understand to
references.
Even begin.
You have to make an analogy.
And that's, you know, in 2001, at the end of that, where, you know, he's up there, he's gone through the monolith, and he's all the weird, and he grows old, and everyone's like, what the hell is all this? This is the Stone of Knowledge imparting to him all of it that they can in a way that he can somewhat understand until he becomes this new person that can handle this. Whatever that was at the end, whether it's the light, the white smoke monster, I don't care what you want to call it.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. You have to put it in a way where people can understand it.
You cannot put it into a completely brand new concept 30 seconds before the end of the show. You can't do it. You have to put it in terms that people can understand. And yes, if it's heaven, if it's the white light, if it's the light at the end of the tunnel, it's a freaking train.
Whether
who cares?
It's them going back to being the energy beings that we all are, because right now we're only perceiving ourselves in a weird way anyway, just to justify
whatever it happens
exactly.
to be.
It could have been the white light of the island. You know, that light that's streaming up, that you put the cork into it. You know, I mean, that could have been the quote unquote afterlife there.
There are people that have wonderful theories about Doctor Who, that the TARDIS is actually every companion, every person that's ever been through it, that part of their energy, part of themselves is what makes up the TARDIS and why it always continues to work. It could be the same. You know, they could all have now been enveloped and be part of this white light, which continues on.
The number one legacy of Lost is it gets people talking. It gets people interested. It's open for discussion.
Yes.
It gets people pausing and looking. Did you see the Dharma logo on the shark? I mean, Aaron Caro, this comedian, I think really phrased it really, really well. People, when it comes to Lost, only fall into one of two categories. Either you watched an episode or two and you gave it up, or you've never watched it at all, so you're either not lost at all, or you've briefly considered having the numbers tattooed somewhere on your body. You're either one or the other. And it's really just getting people talking and interested. And it's almost like smokers, you know, where they're like this little club. If you go and you meet somebody and you're like, oh, you watched Lost? Oh, my God, you watched Lost. And it's just like an instant bond.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the show kept you talking no matter if you liked it or not. You still talked about it. If you had seen it, you talked about it. Whether it was the numbers, whether it was a shark, whether it was the Dharma Initiative, whether it was the smoke monster, Jacob, or the white light at the end of the tunnel, whatever it was, you talked about it and you thought about it afterwards.
It's permeated society. Even if you don't watch the show, you still know some of the words still made it into the general knowledge of the people.
And I think everybody knows that there was a polar bear on the island.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That might be the only thing they ever know is there was a polar bear on the island. But everybody knows there was that.
You had to think about it.
And maybe the black smoke monster.
They might know that, but everyone knows about the polar bear. Crazy stuff. Personally, I thought it was a fantastic ending.
I do too.
I agree. Happy with it. I think it answered the questions that I wanted to know what was going to happen to everybody. And were they going to be able to stop this crazy evil thing that was intent on destroying the world? I don't think there was any question that is not answered, I don't think needed to be answered. And nor do I think, even if the show stayed on the air another 10 years, they ever would have, because that's not what this was.
No, it wasn't. It told the story. It got the job done. It told it well.
And I'm not a storyteller. I don't write. I mean, I'm not such a creative kind of person. But personally, I couldn't think of a better way to do it. I mean, I know that there are people out there kind of, there's some fake alternate endings, and then there's some, you know, real legitimate maybe alternate endings. But I just think that it was as good as it could have possibly been.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So
now, you know, out there, listeners, we certainly understand that there are a lot of, you know, points of view on this particular topic.
Another reason the finale was so great, because it's open to all kinds of interpretations.
All kinds of interpretations. So if you know, want to call in and tell us that we're absolutely crazy insane, I mean, you know, let us know what you think.
You could do that anytime.
So then what's next for us? Seriously, you might have to jump on the Fringe, because that's the closest thing to Lost right now.
Maybe.
The closest thing to Lost is Fringe.
We'll see. There may be something else coming up. Who knows? It may take a couple of years.
I don't know when we're ever going
to
find anything quite like this again.
It won't be exactly like it. It will be as intensive, as immersive, but it'll maybe just in a different way.
I mean, Lost was epic. I mean, in the amount of money that went into it. I mean, they made it look like they went all over the world.
Yeah, they just stayed.
They
just stayed in Hawaii,
except for four scenes.
Yeah,
four scenes. What? That's insane.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
I'm just happy to have been a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, changed my life, changed the way I look at the world. Really, you know, just kind of. There was my life before Lost, and there was my life after Lost, and it is just really, I don't feel like I'm caught up in some mass hysteria or whatever. I mean, if you don't watch it, you don't know what it's like. And yeah, I do feel a little bit bereft. I feel a little bit sad. I'm sure that will continue as it really starts to sink in that there's no more Lost, and then we'll just go and watch the DVDs.
There's not one on tonight.
No, there isn't. We'd be watching, it's like, oh no. Oh, well. Okay, I'm glad they didn't go with the Bob Newhart ending. And
good. That would have been bad.
That would have been really bad. And this is one of those shows that you will remember for the rest of your life. MASH was one of those shows. Cheers was one of those shows. mind you, not on the same level, but it's one of those shows you will remember for the rest of your life. I mean, Battlestar Galactica, this is one of them.
I'm looking forward to going back and watching the DVDs again, and I can't help but feel that even when I watch it again, knowing how it ends, this time I think I will see the whole way through. Oh yeah, that's how it's got to end.
Something's going to clue in.
Yeah, the whole way through.
That was a throw off, you know, comment was something else.
Absolutely. And since somebody's phone's ringing, I guess I'll push this button.
Oopsie.
So GRD Sweekly, thanks for stopping by and listening to us rant about, damn, I'm going to miss the show. Good times indeed. If you've got a recommendation for something else, by all means, you should let us know. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attributions Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Drop by Facebook and like the page. iTunes, subscribe, write a review, all that fun stuff, and drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flintsters, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or send that voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
It's what now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
On an island, bitches.
I've looked into the eye of this island, and what I saw was beautiful.
System failure. System failure.
God's friggin' gift to humanity.
Don't ever tell me what I can't do, ever!
And then the bomb exploded and the submarine blew up.
Well, that's great. So what do we do now?
I'm sorry, Saeed. The tribe has spoken.
What? You mean that figuratively, right?
No. You gotta leave the island, man. Gotta go.
What are you talking about?
Who are you? Yeah. You look familiar. You on TV?
I'm Jeff Probst. Hello?
You've gotta be kidding me. Where have you been?
No idea.
I did not spend 5 years in the Republican Guard. Get shot by Roger. Get drowned in a pond. Take a bomb to the stomach on a submarine to be eliminated by Jeff Probst.